on YouTube, and we got the ginger saint of Cleveland sports, Michael Markoch, laying it down in the 2020s. Hi, JP.
Hello. How's it going today?
I haven't slept in 4 days. I mean, I've slept a little bit, but I haven't slept a lot. And so we are at the end of this cycle of insomnia, and so things will come out of my mouth today
that
normally wouldn't.
I thought we were sleep apnea brothers in arms. I thought we were moving forward on this.
Waiting on my mask. Waiting on the machine. Once we get the machine.
Well, it doesn't matter if Harbaugh disrupts it or anything in between. With sleep apnea, you're going to be sleeping nice. I had a good sleep last night.
I'm
like a baby, actually. It was really nice.
So I don't think it's sleep apnea related. I think it is my kids and I had a completely different schedule for 2 weeks during Christmas break, and now it's back, and my brain does not know my head from my booty. That's where we are.
I mean, I have two kids under three, and I still had a good night's sleep, all things considered. Or maybe I just forgot what a good night's sleep is.
Why are you sleep bragging? Why are you sleep bragging?
Because I'm not supposed to be the one that got better sleep than you last night, so I need to get to the bottom of why I got better sleep than you.
I think this is more of a me problem. I think that's where we are.
I want the CPAP to work out really well for you. I do. I really do. I think it's going to be a game changer for you.
I think it will be as well.
Somebody needs to get me like a CPAP endorsement or something. I cannot recommend something higher in my life than getting diagnosed for sleep apnea and then having it corrected and using that mask every night.
All right.
It's an actual game changer. I don't even care that I'm 36 and it is what it is.
Ken and Anthony have Extend Technologies together. You and
Could we get a CPAP?
Yeah.
Somebody, yeah. Something.
Yeah.
There's enough companies out there. Can somebody help us out? That's not a great look for our brand, by the way. Whatever our brand is, quote unquote, but like that's probably not the greatest.
Well, right after it's Home Health Alert.
Okay.
And then, of course, we're going to get the colostomy bag one.
The home health one. I've fallen and I can't get up. That's the one.
And then I'll literally fall and I won't be able to get up.
I did love those commercials.
But that's because I'm fat, not because I'm old or broken.
Could you imagine being the grandma in those commercials, though? It's like, I got casted. I got my big role.
Yeah.
I'm fallen and I can't get up, grandma.
Literally the big break.
Yeah. Oh, well, it sucks. I mean, if you get a big break late in life. You know, there's some sort of actors that it happens at like 65, 70 years old. They work in Hollywood for 40 years. Nothing ever happens. They're perceived to be basically just a struggling artist for their whole life. And then, boom, they're making Office money.
Yeah. Okay. But if you're a person who works your whole life.
Like the show, The Office.
Like the whole life. Your whole life. And you finally break it big, right?
I mean, it's better than never breaking big.
And then you go, I wish I would have got this 10 years earlier. You're a D-bag. You didn't learn anything on your trials.
It's not the, I wish I could have done it 10 years earlier. I do always feel bad for the people, though, that like they go for like 40 years and they try their butt off and then they finally hit it big. And it's like, their parents are dead at that point. All the people that have believed in them.
Their parents are dead
at that
point.
All the people have believed in them. They've won.
Maybe their parents being dead is why they finally had success.
They've long left. The horse is completely gone out of that stall at that point.
Didn't know how we were landing that plane.
Yeah, and we always do.
And if we're talking Matt Khalil all of a sudden.
And so I knew you'd love that story. And so like, but that sucks though. That sucks for those people because then you get no sense of like.
No, it doesn't.
I made it.
No, you do.
I did it.
That's what the money's
your
for.
Your parents that died thinking you're a loser in Los Angeles without a chance.
When People Magazine's doing an expose on your
without
home.
Without a chance.
And you've got like. $10 million in the bank, you have made it.
I don't know why it matters to me.
Also,
my dad died. I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
I hadn't accomplished or done anything in life at all.
Yeah.
He probably thought I was a loser in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, though. I don't know that. I don't know about
that one real quick.
Yeah,
you didn't like the way that one tasted.
No, because it sucks. If I want to feel bad for the struggling artist 40 years from now, I'm not going to let myself paint it in that sort of way.
Oh, no. I didn't make it by 22.
Yeah, my dad had a good understanding of what that is. I just graduated college. We're fine. It's okay.
But all the things that they say will hurt you in the long run, you can just get it out of the way. It's not going to hurt you anyway. It's not like you're going to be around for the long-term ramifications of it.
You mean like you can just bag your parents because they're dead and they can't respond?
I mean, if I'm the person that's
Max waiting for a certain
age,
day.
I'm the one that makes my big break.
Did the story hit too close to home for you? Is that what's happening here?
I think that happened with both of you in this segment.
Well, the 22-year-old version of me definitely had a oh no. Did he die thinking something of me that isn't great? But no, we were fine. You're right. I just graduated college.
Yep.
What is he supposed to expect of a 22-year-old version of me?
We're all good here. We're all good.
It's fine. Doesn't matter.
This is all therapy for us.
Doesn't matter. What martyr?
Hard left. All right. Dan Pitcher, the Bengals offensive coordinator, going to be interviewed by the Browns. Jim Schwartz, Tommy Reese, have the Browns failed us by not having a head coach yet? 216-474-0092.
Yeah, they haven't failed us by not having one yet. Now, it does seem in the past 24 hours, the more and more people that want to come out and say the Browns have no chance in Harbaugh is a pretty interesting development.
Which peoples?
All sorts of people. Colin Cowherd today said no chance in hell for Browns for Harbaugh.
And he's like, very rarely ever right.
All sorts of people have come out and now made this big claim.
Colin Cowherd said an obvious thought that everybody's going to have. I am for...
Well, so now you think it is an obvious thought.
I think that's an obvious fan thought. I don't know what reporters would say. That's a real bad pivot. That was not a great response. I'd like that one back. Go ahead and give it
another try.
Can you set me up again? Because I now don't remember how you set me up on the first
one. That's going to take us too long to figure that out.
All that.
Here's the point. The point is, I think a lot of people have come to the understanding that Harbaugh is likely waiting on the Bills or the Packers to lose a postseason game, and then they would probably be in the driver's seat to get Harbaugh services.
Mm-hmm.
And we might be the benefactor of that. Like, I'm perfectly fine if all of a sudden it means the Packers fire LaFleur and we end up with Matt LaFleur. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. Now I don't know about Sean McDermott yet. We have to talk through that one at some point. But if we are just waiting for we don't get the guy, but we get the guy after the guy, that's not bad for me.
Yeah, and by the way, McDermott was a huge focal part of the coaching search back in 2019. Oh, wait, no. 2014? 2016.
Yeah, it wasn't 2019.
We've had a lot of these. Had a lot of these. No, it's 2016.
Did the Corn Fairy not like him?
No. That's who Deeth Podesta wanted to hire. And then I think Jimmy did a left turn and went right to Hugh Jackson, who was here, baby. But it's interesting. I agree with you. I think the obvious win, the clear win, is get John Harbaugh. And I expect... If the only way the Browns can really let me down on this is if they just don't try and open that door.
Right.
You have to go to his door, John Cusack, and say anything, have the boombox, and instead of a boombox, it's a $30 million a year check.
Right.
That you get turned down. Well, okay.
People don't like hearing this, but this is the same mentality they had with Deshaun Watson that I need you to have now with Harbaugh.
Yes.
Again, Daryl said, you got to learn to say no and take no for an answer. No, that's the wrong mentality. You don't have to have that mentality. If anything, Deshaun was the warm-up. You showed us.
I thought you were going to say Deshaun proved that.
No, and Deshaun did prove that, though, in more ways than one. But the reality is that, go back to Deshaun. 13 teams wanted Deshaun Watson, okay? And then he put it down to a final four. And at every step of that measure, what did people like Colin Cowherd and all the national pundits have to say? We got no chance. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson's not coming to Cleveland. And not only that, they brought up all sorts of different Texans-Browns games at First Energy Stadium, where afterwards he told John McClain how he would never play in Cleveland because he hated the weather here and everything else, right? Like, they had all sorts of different things against the Browns. And what did the Browns do? They found a way. So, like, between Andrew Berry and Jimmy Haslam, you worked whatever you think you worked in order to get Deshaun Watson. Do the same thing. You know the playbook. Be relentless. Do whatever you have to do because you did it once. You beat the rest of the NFL once, and it worked out horribly that you won those sweepstakes. But you did it. So you can do it again.
What you're saying is you do. I think that's what I'm hearing here is you don't fail big like this twice in a row. Certainly not if you're the Cleveland Browns.
Let's put it this way.
But I agree with your sentiment while I'm being a smartass.
Yeah, like it's the Saints, the Panthers, and the Falcons, and that Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, right? They all ended up with a great outcome for themselves in that they didn't ruin their franchise. But at the end of that, all three of those franchises understood their guy doesn't have the cojones to get it done. Their guy doesn't have that final blank check to slide across the table the way that our guy does. So it ended miserably for us. But it also showed us that in these moments where the NFL world thinks we can't get it done, Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry can.
And this is Jimmy Haslam's value to us. At this moment, this is his value, is that pocketbook, both with coaches, with players, with the salary cap, all of it. So, but that's option A. I love that you're talking about option B because the collateral damage of this absolutely could dislodge another coach that you like and respect if you're the Browns. But I think all of this is... Like, we've seen the Aiden Dirty news. We mentioned Dan Pitcher, who was with Andrew Berry in Indy, I think, from 11 to 15. That's another name that has been kind of maligned, if we will. We've got Tommy Reese and Schwartz interviewing for this job.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that fans immediately go, I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy. Can I give the Browns a compliment to this point? There has not been a name. There have been names that have been like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. Like Dan Pitcher.
Yeah.
Oh, he was good with Joe Burrow. I'm very surprised.
Which is kind of funny
because
it's like, are we going to get every offensive coordinator in the AFC North? Is that what this is? Is that what we're? Is Arthur Smith up next?
Listen, if you've helped a great quarterback continue to be great, come on down. That's the NFL, baby. But here's what I'll say. I like that we don't have the obvious candidates. Like, this is not a shot at Kenny, but Ken's list, I was like, did you just copy and paste that from Adam Schefter's tweet? Like, it was
you wanted the wide net. You wanted them to get creative with it. There's some creativity attached to this.
Because I think a very intelligent organization can do all of the things we're saying. They can pursue John Harbaugh as if he's the only coach they ever want to coach, while preparing for the collateral damage approach, which is a LaFleur or somebody else snakes free, and then you go, that guy becomes your guy if Harbaugh goes elsewhere. And then there is, all right, that's not going to work out. Let's go ahead. Like, this is, I think we're going to get stuck in this thing of, well, Mike Pettine was the sixth coach. Guys, I'm not doing this. Like, this is the organization that identified Kevin Stefanski when nobody else in the NFL wanted him. That same Kevin Stefanski, who until John Harbaugh was available yesterday, is the belle of the ball of the NFL. All anyone will say is how great. Any of the guys right now reporting that are stamping, really going out there, going hard for Stefanski, those same guys had no idea who Kevin was 7 years ago.
Right, right.
The Browns did. So I'm going to give them as much credit as I can, and the idea that I'm not seeing Cliff Kingsbury in this search.
Although he did now hit the highest Vegas odds, by the way.
Yeah, Vegas, get your head out of your
Vegas made
your
Kingsbury the odds-on favorite.
All I saw was Kalshi,
who had
John
Kingsbury.
Harbaugh having the highest percentage chance to be the Browns' next head coach. So I'm focusing on those analytics. Those are my datas.
Is that your data?
Yep.
Kingsbury replaced Robert Saleh as the favorite. Harbaugh went from 33-1 to 6-1 is the new update.
I like those odds. I think.
Poor Saleh. He's like, what happened here? How did I lose out on this?
Did people go back and look at what happened in New York? Is that what happened? Well, no, we like good man Robert Saleh.
And Robert Saleh still might end up being the answer. That's kind of the interesting part of this. But it does feel like, especially with the offensive coordinators that they're bringing in, it does feel like they're going to try to do something. And this is where the pitcher conversation is interesting. If you get a guy like that, who's very much like Kevin Stefanski was when he came here, you get to keep your defensive coordinator. You get to keep everyone like that's already here because they don't have enough of a staff to go and replace everybody anyway.
But as of right now, I wanted them to interview Schwartz. I don't really object to them interviewing Reese. Again, like if you said Tommy Reese or Dan Pitcher, boy, do we have a Sophie's choice in our hands. But like they're not just going, oh, Lou Anarumo. Like all the, because they're, I mean, Raheem Morris has three interviews this week, and he just got fired for going.
What you're talking about is
16 and 18.
What you're talking about here is the Titan search.
Yeah, no, exactly. That is that. I honestly feel like Borgonzi and Brinker, the head dudes there, just were like, hey, should we source this via an article by Ian Rappaport 2 weeks ago? Yeah, I don't want that.
And even that would almost be almost a shot at Ian Rappaport's list.
Yeah.
Because even like those guys, even like the Connor Orrs, they always try to come up with one or two guys that people hadn't really thought of, but maybe should be on the horizon of it. They're not even getting cute with the attempts here. At least the Browns are, they're telling you something with this.
And so, like, again, that doesn't mean it's going to work out. It doesn't mean they're going to get their next Kevin Stefanski. But I think it's a little early to panic and do the doomsday crap with this thing. I don't know Harbaugh will take the job. That's on Jimmy Haslam to try and make it happen. I don't know that whoever, if Harbaugh goes to somewhere else, I don't know that coach will then come here if it's a standing coach in the playoffs right now. I don't know. And again, they could get it wrong. It is in the wheelhouse of possibilities for the Cleveland Browns. But every time there's a new name, there's some sort of sky is falling. And it's just, I think it's a little early. It's just, let's let this one breathe a little bit, like a fine wine, because that's what I've heard you do with wine. I don't drink wine, but that's what I imagine I would do.
Yeah. Well, now I'm thinking like, oh, you're going to let that wine go 2 weeks. People let it go like, 80 years. And they're like, this is a fine wine. We got two, three weeks, somewhere around there.
It's been about 26 years.
But what happens this weekend is going to be incredible for the fallout of all of this.
And Chaos and carnage, baby.
I mean, it really has a chance to just be fireworks across this whole entire coaching change. And I don't know, maybe the end result is Packers fire LaFleur, Harbaugh goes to Green Bay, LaFleur goes to Baltimore, and we were never in the running for any of it. You can't put all your eggs in any of the top tier baskets. But you get to at least have these conversations and attempt to pull it off.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Also hit us up on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat. Again, like that video. We like to be liked. Will the Browns take flack for not landing Harbaugh if that's what comes this week or this next couple weeks? Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Ashley Bastock at 3:20. Ross Tucker at 4 o'clock. So much more. We're going to look back at what we got right and what we got wrong with our preseason predictions later in the show as well. But 216-474-0092. Will the Browns take flack for not landing Harbaugh if that's how this goes? We'll react to that coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. The great provocateur that is Florio, I disagree. If you can get Harbaugh, you should, because he's a great head coach. No matter whether you think he is an archaic head coach, that he coaches a brand of football from 20 years ago or not, the guy wins consistently. And even if all he does is go to the playoffs every year, that is a step in the right direction. And he is an adult in the room that the Cleveland Browns sorely, sorely need. But they shouldn't do it to appease the fans. And if the and if that is any part of this search, if that is any part of the desire for Haslam and Berry to placate fans, you have already failed this process.
Yeah, I kind of hate how much of the rhetoric around Haslam is just, well, he's doing this all until 2029 for the stadium.
Yeah.
And maybe I hate it because there's maybe a part truth to it all, but like he can't operate in that lens. You know how far away 2029 is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's forever. In football terms, it's forever. And so to be thinking about that, you're just going to, what, passively wait for all these things in order to then pull it off in 3 years, 4 years? Like, that seems like insanity to me.
Yeah, it's funny to me that people are like, oh, Jimmy's going to be patient because he doesn't have to do anything till 2029. Guys, Jimmy wants to get winning going as long as possible so fans are as happy as possible by the time you get to 2029 so that you can do like the PSL thing.
Or you
like
also...
this idea Jimmy doesn't care about winning until the new stadium opens, it's a little low-hanging fruit. It's a little not true.
Well, why don't you just also try to just, you know, win games because you can't... Winning games aren't guaranteed. Like, so you make a run for it, and then you do, I don't know, what you've done for the previous 13 years, not win, and then you regroup and you go after it again. But yeah. None of this passive nonsense.
And again, I don't buy it. I don't buy that Jimmy Haslam is going to be... that's the one thing I can count he won't be, is passive in this process. Guys, what helps win... more, or what helps sell more tickets in a new stadium? And what helps sell more PSLs? Is it three winning seasons leading up to the new stadium? Or is it not winning until the new stadium's open? Oh gosh, I don't know. How does business work?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's about Florio or anybody else, but there is a little bit of like...
Well, so I think that's kind of what Florio is driving at, though, is that the PCLs, I don't know. I think he thinks they're up. It's coming up in this next year or so. They got to start selling this stuff. And so I think he's looking at the hire. If you don't go splash, you're putting yourself in the danger zone of having the whole fan base basically give one yawn emoji to it all. But I don't know anybody outside of Harbaugh right now that you could hire as a coach that would elicit that much excitement anyway.
All right, but if you hire Harbaugh and next year you win five games again, good feeling's gone.
Right, good feeling's definitely gone, yeah.
I guess my thing is, what it's funny that people criticize Jimmy, and there's some fairness in it, for chasing relevance or being the Deshaun trade, right? They're trying to skip a step, right? Hey, solve your problems by writing a check. It is funny that people... are on Jimmy about that, and then they're like, hey, short-term relevance, go chase it. Like, that's, to me, that is counterintuitive to the biggest criticism you have about Jimmy Haslam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you're Florio and you say you'll never win as long as Jimmy Haslam is here.
Which is Florio's best take, or not best take, it's his...
It's his greatest hit.
Takes on a jukebox, he hits that number the most.
It's his stairway to heaven.
It is, yeah.
He just plays the living bleep out of it, air guitar solo and all.
And some national guys, they fall into that trap where it's like, anytime your team pops up, or the Browns pop up, for instance, it's like, oh, they only say this one weird stat. Why do they keep talking about the one weird stat? Florio just goes to the idea that the Browns are never going to win under Haslam.
It's also because they remember. They remember that one weird stat.
That's it, though. They just remember like one weird, one odd stat, and then they say it for like a year until they get a new stat about the Browns, and then that's the one. It bothers me.
If Harbaugh would agree to come here, which it's fair to say you don't think he would do that, it might be protecting yourself, it might not be. We'll find out, right? But it is fair to debate that. But to say that the number one reason you should hire Harbaugh is because of making fans happy, no. The only thing that makes fans happy is sustainable winning.
Well, I think he's,
I would hire Harbaugh, because I think he can lead to sustainable winning.
I think he was talking about beyond Harbaugh, because he did say, you said you hire Harbaugh full stop, and then he was going into the other guys. And so that brings up an interesting conversation, though. If you're talking about pitcher, the offensive coordinator for the Bengals, that's not a splashy hire by any sense of it. Like, people are going to look at that and they're going to say to themselves, what are they doing? Same thing they did with Stefanski so many years ago. Like, that's going to be the reaction. Whereas there are, I'm trying to think of the guy that would really sell it to the fan base. Like, I brought up McCarthy yesterday. Is that, I don't think people are going to be dancing in the streets because you get Mike McCarthy. Like, I just don't know that that guy exists from a coaching level with the same excitement that you'd have with a Harbaugh or anyone else, or any really anywhere close.
I mean, if McDermott shook free and agreed to come to Cleveland, I think
if McDermott
I think
shook
that's
free,
close.
If LaFleur shook free, guys that shook free, we can have that conversation.
McDaniel's
with
McDaniel's going to be interesting because Yosina's reporting the Dolphins have been in contact with Harbaugh about their job, and Mike McDaniel's still the head coach.
Yeah, but Mike McDaniel's not going to, I don't think he's going to elicit some sort of dancing in the street mentality from Browns fans.
Maybe from Andrew Berry, if you believe some of the reports out there.
Maybe just be the advanced stats guys or something. I'm not sure. Maybe that pocket of Cleveland Browns Twitter, maybe they'd get excited, but I don't know that.
Oh, they hate Harbaugh, so that's how I know I want it. The guys who have led us to the abyss with analytics, right? Hey, your process. Well, your process turned out to not be very good either. So.
Harbaughs are winners. I want a Harbaugh. I'll take any Harbaugh.
Jack?
Any of them. You get last name Harbaugh. You might not even know your name at this point. I'll take you.
Here's the problem. Jay is the special teams coordinator in Seattle. I do not want Jay Harbaugh.
What happened to Jay?
He looks like Chris Pratt.
You say it like that's a bad thing.
But not now. No, I'm sorry. Parks and Rec, Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, before he got like it's like Jim Halpert in The Office before they got these glow-ups.
Yeah.
They say glow-ups. They just took steroids, guys.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's all it was.
Well, they just threw money at it, ironically. Yeah. They bought the most famous trainer in Hollywood.
Yeah, they really are. They're proof positive that money can make you a good-looking human if you just have enough of it.
That's why.
Well, that's it, though.
Guys, I would be yoked if I just had a couple more $100K.
If you had it, no. If you had like $200 million.
Yeah. All right. I'm not that fat.
You don't need all $200 million.
If I made $5 million a year, I could be Pratt.
Here's what I'm saying. You could have though. You'd have unlimited access to the trainer that would, do whatever they need to do. The eating right, nutrition people that would tell you basically when to put things in your body and how often to put things in your body. We're still talking food here, guys. And you'd get there
or not.
You get there, but you need that much disposable income. I don't know.
I do like the fact that for me it was $200 million. Other people, you gotta like have $1 million a year. You have $1 million a year, you'll be fine.
No,
but Nick Wilson,
I think that's
$200 million. If you've got Bezos money, Nick could be like $275 million.
Oh, Bezos money's like billions. But like the starting point.
And I'd be Matt Khalil in other ways.
The starting point, well, you can maybe invest
downtown.
In that too. I knew you'd love that story. I set the over-under in my head of how many times it was going to get referenced today. You're already at two.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the downtown thing. I was like, oh, that's a throwback for when we haven't said that from the downtown.
No, the Khalil thing. Oh,
yeah. Just wait for quick hits. 216-474-0092. Is Florio right that the Browns have to make a move that fans will like? I really cannot read this over here. This is not great. Let's go with the great pause. Josh in Middletown, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes,
hey,
sir. What you got, buddy?
All right.
I think that Jim Schwartz is the answer, man.
To what question?
You got a defense that hasn't allowed a 300-yard passer since 2022. And his entire tenure here, he schemed Myles Garrett into 23 sacks. I mean, scheme goes so far, and Myles Garrett is an above-par human being. Let's just say that. But, I mean, this defense has looked great. I mean, let's take the best part of the team. Let's emphasize it. Let's bring in a fresh look for the offense and just build around Shadur. We have a lot of things. We don't have the ammo to go get the guy at quarterback this year. We've already invested in the quarterback position. Bring in a fresh offensive mind. I don't even like the idea of Tommy Rees sticking around because schematically this offense didn't look great. Not to say that we were stock personnel wise as far as skill position players go. And right. Injuries definitely.
Real quick, buddy.
Us.
Can I get you to do one thing for me?
What's up?
Can you say Shadur?
Shadur.
Oh,
no.
Come on. Come on, Josh.
No.
Shadur.
Shadur? Shadur?
There we go. Proud of you, kid. I knew you had it.
Shadur?
All right, that's enough at that.
You're kind of a fun human.
He got there.
I kind of liked
him. We're pro Josh.
I did like him.
I had to run you, but we are pro Josh.
Oh, bad caller, but good guy. He seemed like I'd hang out with him, but he's a bad caller.
It only took two things. Yesterday, I said Todd Monken.
I liked his energy.
Yesterday, I said Todd Monken off the air to Katie Pollock 75 times.
Yeah, she didn't get it.
And she said Monken.
It was like
every single time
thing too. Yeah,
it was. But so Josh only took two times there.
No, that was good.
Yeah. So we got to Shador.
Yeah, what?
That's how you say the name. Not Shador. Not Shaderpteder.
Reach one, teach one. You know what I mean? Like, just one at a time.
I thought that meant something different.
One at a time. Just all across Cleveland. One at a time.
Let's go with Irvin in Cleveland. You feeling pitcher here, Irvin?
Good afternoon, guys. Not per se feeling him, but the only thing I wanted to bring up was, well, I had a question. Was he the same coordinator when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl?
No, that'd be Brian Callahan, who just got fired after a year and a quarter in Tennessee.
But he got that job in Tennessee off of that.
Yeah.
Okay, but he did have the Bengals offense scoring like 30-some points a game.
Not really, though, because like he only got the OC job this year, and he wasn't calling plays.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's a different guy. All right.
All right, Irvin, we appreciate you.
Thank you, Irvin.
I have a sinking suspicion. There is a part of the pitcher thing that it's like, oh, Andrew Berry knows you from Indianapolis, so he wants to go to the Wayback Machine because it's a safety. There's a part
That's how
of,
this works.
There's a part of that Sometimes. That makes me a little uncomfortable.
It's a good old boys club in many ways, but it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's like the one lesson everyone teaches you in life, and this is a part of that. The idea that he's gaining steam doesn't surprise me in the slightest bit.
Doesn't surprise me. But it doesn't make me feel that, I will say. Again, not a lot of people interviewing Dan Pitcher, so he fits one part of my criteria for this job. But also,
he'd be that bobblehead that they want him to be. They want somebody that'll be a yes man. Unlike Harbaugh, this is no threat to Andrew Berry than losing his job 3 weeks from now. And you likely get to keep Jim Schwartz on as the defensive coordinator, because despite what Andrew Berry said about this guy being able to round out his staff, if you hire someone like this pitcher guy from Cincinnati, he doesn't get to call those shots.
But Barry cronyism makes me feel like if Barry were to get fired in a year or two, then this coach would go with him, and then we were right back into the cycle of suck. And that is where I do not wish to be.
I mean, this is the way Andrew Barry keeps his hands on as much as he possibly can in the biggest way imaginable.
Mercy.
Yeah, no, I know.
216-474-0092. Is Florio right that the Browns need to make a move that fans like? Is that what the Browns? Yes, the Browns making a move the fans like. Will they listen? We also have to hear what Mike Tomlin had to say about the John Harbaugh firing in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Can I come up with a creative way? Like Mike Bloomgren, the offensive line coach, Bloom Diddler. Right? Come on now.
That wasn't that creative.
I'm sure he did. Excuse me?
Okay, as insulting as all it was.
I think what's insulting is you're not realizing the nicknaming
prowess.
You called
him Bloom Diddler for a little bit, and then you kind of let that one go.
Yeah, because we stopped talking about Mike Bloomgren.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
He's doing
such a good job with KT Leviston.
Well, so what do you want for pitcher here? We want something off Dan? Is that what
Dan
you said?
Dan the man? Oh, my
That's
God.
That's just lame.
I'm going to beat the crap out of myself for that one.
You want to see what ChatGPT can come up with?
Let's do that.
What are we doing? Like the best? How do you want to phrase it? The best nicknames?
Yeah, for a guy named Dan Pitcher, who would be the Browns head coach. Yeah, I think you got to put the Browns head coach in there.
I mean, we're getting really wordy here, but they do good work.
Yeah, they do.
They do good. Well, actually, you know, sometimes they do really awful work.
They don't
actually.
Do. Sometimes they really struggle with it. It's not great.
Oh no, this isn't great at all. Is it the pitch man?
Okay,
that's not bad.
All right,
that's
well,
not
it works.
Bad.
It's a double meaning because well, pitch yeah, man.
The first one I saw was coach pitch.
Okay,
you know, like T-ball. It's like you got coach pitch, but like coach pitch. That seems like that just doesn't fastball Dan.
Okay, that's not great.
Dan the plan. Okay. Someone lame is going to come up with that. Well, someone lame is going to do that one.
Well, partners would have Dan the plan. That's all I'm saying.
Set out the pitcher plant when he's laying roots, culture talk. They call it the pitcher plant.
Okay, that's bad. That's not good, ChatGPT.
Have a little pitch and catch.
That means something different.
Factory of pitching.
Also not good. None of these, we're getting progressively worse.
Yeah, no, ChatGPT's lost its fastball.
What about pitch please?
Pitch perfect.
Let's get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's quick hits.
right. None of the ones coming in on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel are much better.
It's not a great name for this. It's Chaser, not a great name for this.
Chaser, our pitcher sucks. Not great. All right. He also then followed up with, can the meteor hit us already? Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin went on the Rich Eisen show today, made a little 40-yard dash action there, and weighed in on John Harbaugh's firing in Baltimore.
First, I just have so much respect for Harbs. You know, our stories will forever be, you know, interwoven. You know, in terms of him being let go, unfortunately, I just think it's a component of today's sport culture. You know, there have been many examples of that. And so it's unfortunate, but I'm sure that he is going to move on and to coach again. I'm sure he will, and I'm sure he'll be very successful at doing so. But more than anything, I just think it's, you know, a larger example of today's sport culture in terms of not a lot of patience in the entertainment component of what it is that we do. There's just not a lot of longevity.
How much patience did he want?
18 years.
What was that?
Isn't that the funniest response?
What was that? What? Is he serious?
He is serious.
How did he say that with a straight face?
That is that because he's Tomlin. He believes everything that he says.
Not a lot of patience. You've been in your job longer than anybody in the NFL.
Not just that.
And Harbaugh was second longest by a lot.
Not just that. He's a 50-year-old man who should have perspective on the fact that sports have never had patience. Like this whole like coaches get 4 years and fired thing is not new in the NFL.
I guess never heard NFL standing for not for long. I guess that one just bypassed Tomlin completely.
You know what, guys? I'm going to tell you what this all reminds me of. This acronym I came up for the NFL. It means not for long. I just came up with that just right now.
I mean, this is unreal. This is like the two of us have had radio jobs for a very long time, and it'd be like. I've been here for 10 years. If they let me go tomorrow, I can't be like, geez, never had a real chance. Like in radio terms, it might as well be 50 years. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, basically we're like the Golden Girls. All of us are like the Golden Girls of radio because we haven't been outsourced by ChatGPT yet.
It's just not how it went. In fact, I was talking to my older brother today. He was telling me about like some Kansas City radio drama there. They're all like moving spots and doing all these different things. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really happen here.
And you haven't told me yet. Thanks.
It wasn't
you
juicy.
Know I like
it wasn't
that.
Juicy. He didn't know half the names he was talking
was
about.
It the
he
other
was,
station?
It was my brother trying. You know what? And we appreciated
that. You know what?
Yeah.
Your dad would be proud of you.
Yeah. And then thank you. I think that goes a long way. Thank you.
Come on now.
Thank you. We both know he still wouldn't be. We both know that.
Oh, he only made right. it 10 years in radio in my and day.
And that's all right.
That's all right.
Emily Mayfield, old friend. So yesterday we had Adam Schefter with that post about there being seven teams that have reached out, but there's only six openings. And everyone's like, oh, who could he be talking about? You surmised it was Miami. I think a lot of people then thought that was the right call. I saw some pockets of the internet suggesting, though, that it could have been the Buccaneers. Emily Mayfield with within minutes of this post from Adam Schefter, was liking the post on Instagram.
Ooh. Was that just Baker on her phone?
That's kind of what a lot of people are also thinking. Now, Emily's also, I mean, she's very active online herself. She, in fact, had 100,000 followers before her and Baker had ever even met. Like, a fun fact about her that not many people recognize, she was already pretty famous in her own right before she met Baker. It's not the story they ever portray, but that's neither here nor there. So clearly... Hey. Clearly, she's in favor of a change in Tampa Bay.
Or could she still think likes are a way to save something for later? I still do that occasionally. I still like things.
Because
I forget.
Tabs.
I know. I forget about it. And I'm like, I got to like this one so I can remember it for later. And then later I'm like, oh, bookmark tabs. I'm an idiot.
The bookmark tabs are great.
She's. Oh, nope. You know what?
She's what now?
She's
what now?
She might just want Todd Bowles
out. What was that? I think that reads easier than anything else.
Yeah.
Like at first I was like, maybe she just thought it was juicy and maybe she likes Adam Schefter and was like, all right, cool story. Thank you. That makes no sense.
You would want John Harbaugh over Todd Bowles. It doesn't mean you don't like Todd Bowles.
You can't like the post though.
Well, but again, this is more about John Harbaugh than it is about Todd Bowles. She didn't say...
Is she just like, in case anyone in Tampa wants to know my thoughts on this? Or in case anyone in the Tampa front office wants to know my thoughts
again,
on this?
Or again, maybe she forgets that everyone can see it. Maybe.
Well, so they can't on Twitter now, right?
Correct.
That actually, I think, is a good function.
No, I like to know. Yeah, especially when like old media dudes accidentally like pornography. Oh, I like to know what people get down to. Oh, that's funny to me. It's never what you think. It's just never.
It is really funny to me.
It's like
too.
A 75-year-old guy, and it's like, oh,
Oh, maybe like a 75-year-old.
That's a different way than I would have thought here.
Maybe like a 75-year-old baseball writer that's getting into the Hall of Fame. Maybe one of those guys.
I don't know what you're talking
about. That was too on the nose, was it not?
It was very on the nose.
It was really funny to me, though.
I'm never getting unblocked at this point. Former NFL offensive lineman Matt Khalil is suing his ex-wife for an excess of $75,000.
Yeah, I'm going to phrase this one.
For her comments on a podcast alleging that his incredibly large member ruined their marriage. Mm. Khalil is claiming this ruined his ability to maintain privacy and that his ex made money off her claim. Is Matt Khalil the worst human being on the planet? He should be paying her $75,000.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious thought is, right, like, that's good PR. You can't hate on that, right?
Yeah. No, it's not good PR. Like
the world's best PR?
Yeah, Tuboku is, in fact, the best. You know what? We had to break up. I was too satisfied.
Spin zone. Travis Kelce? Get suing Taylor.
No, because he gets it.
That's a whole song.
That meathead gets it.
On these grounds. Sue Taylor Swift. There you go.
It could have part of her catalog. I like the way you're thinking.
You know what? She's worth billions with a B.
No, listen. If she had come out and she had said some unsavory things, right? We got a thimble.
I bet she's shocked at this
development. We got a thimble situation. You sue the hell out of her, King. Right? You don't let that stand. All right? If she said, never got you where you wanted to go, you sue her till the cows come home.
So basically, the suing part of this...
You're a double Coke can, for the love of God.
I know. The suing part of this, though, is he's obviously way too sensitive about the idea that at, like, family dinners, everyone in his life knows what he's dealing with down there. I think, is that the idea? That's the idea, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, he's not going to walk a little taller around the house.
It's got to be an uncomfortable Thanksgiving with Grandma after Grandma knows that.
Oh, gosh, I would hate that. Yeah.
I mean, that's not great.
Yeah. Come on.
That's why I'm fortunate my grandma's dead.
Yeah. You know who did know? Mama Pat. She knew the truth.
Omaha! Yeah. And she didn't go telling the Diocese of Chicago about it, I tell you that much.
He didn't have a podcast at the time.
She didn't do that. If Mama Pat had that podcast.
She would have put Peterlin on blast.
It's like me, Pope Leo, and Mama Pat just discussing the daily events.
Up next on the Holier Than Now pod.
I like that the Chicago Pope is sitting out there in the Vatican one day like, did I ever tell you that I heard about this 12-year-old kid, Peterlin?
By all accounts, that like Pope Leo was at the house, my next-door neighbor's house, often.
I submit. That
she was a real power broker in the Archdiocese.
That
real
suing power broker. Your ex, because
Cardinals, Saints,
she
everyone
told
would come
everyone
over. People from
that
all
you're
over
too well
would
to
make
do.
The stopover at Mama Pat's house.
Quite frankly, it's LDE. It's the opposite of BDE, and that's what it's a little mystifying here.
Carnell Tate is leaving Ohio State for the NFL draft.
Yes, he is. Don't know about the state of his downstairs business.
And then on top of it, did you see Jeremiah Smith had to put out a tweet yesterday telling everyone that he was not, in fact, leaving for Miami?
I did see that.
I sent it right to Jax immediately.
Yeah. What, to rub his nose in it? Or
no,
to be,
no, no,
like,
just to make him aware. Just to make him aware. Because he was the only one that was actually fearful of Jeremiah Smith leaving and going to Miami. And so to make it like an ease of like, okay, this is more important than anything. But there were rumors, there were whispers out there that Carnell Tate...
They lost wide receiver 4.
Yeah, the one that was like didn't even do anything for the last half of the season.
Yeah, he was a 5-star.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wanted $4 million or something. It wasn't $4 million. It was dumb, whatever it was. The wide receiver conversation is going to be really fascinating. And I don't think you can say who wide receiver 1 should be for the Browns yet, because I think this is going to be scheme specific. But it's going to between Mekhi Lemon, between Jordan Tyson, Carnell Tate. Oh gosh, I'm forgetting at least one name. It's
Denzel
Boston.
Those are the big three.
No, there's another one. There's another kind of speedier guy. It's not Concepcion. It's somebody else. God bless it. It's not coming to me right now. I need some sleep. But it's going to be a fascinating conversation. Carnell gets the Justin Jefferson.
Like fifth receiver off the board, but then ends up being the best.
Oh no, it was size and speed and kind of like what they
projected.
Okay,
that is what happened with Justin Jefferson though in that draft. I think he went in like 21 or 22, and obviously turned into Justin Jefferson.
Wasn't it Jahan Dotson went before him, I believe.
I think he was the fifth wide receiver in that draft taken.
Jalen Reagor went right before him, actually.
Bunch of idiots. That was mean. I didn't mean that. Not you guys. You guys aren't the idiots.
Well, and there's that video. That was always smart. There was that video that where the Vikings are like, they're like shocked, and then they all celebrate in a massive way because they get their guy.
the latest on Kevin Stefanski, and we're going to do our best to avoid revisionist history on old Coach Kev. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.